It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Friday, November 19th, 2010. I'm John Moe. The Organization of American States, an international group with representatives from 35 North and South American countries, announced Thursday that it will hold a December 7th debate on what has become a tense situation in Costa Rica. And caught up in it, Google Maps. A Nicaraguan general led his troops into a small section of Costa Rica a couple weeks ago. He said, according to Google Maps, it was part of Nicaragua. Stephen Gaines runs Ogle Earth, a blog about online mapping issues. I asked how this all got started.
I don't know how many hours you have, but basically started in the 1850s when the countries had a spate of invading each other. And at the end of that day, they had a treaty that defined the border, but the treaty wasn't all that clear. So in 1888, they asked the U.S. President Grover Cleveland to mediate, but even that didn't help. So then again in 1897, they actually had a person measure out precisely where the border was. And then for over 110 years, nobody argued about where the border was.
Until a few weeks ago, when a mistake on Google Maps showed the land being Nicaraguan.
You know, the narrative on the internet has been that Nicaragua accidentally invaded Costa Rica because they looked on Google Maps and there was a mistake there. They knew exactly where the border was. It's a very closely watched border. But they used this as a kind of taunt rather than, say, the actual reason, because everybody knows exactly where the border was.
We were getting data from an authoritative source.
That's Peter Birch, product manager for Google Earth. The data in this case came from the U.S. State Department. But Peter Birch says they get data from a lot of places.
Sometimes we get data from governments, sometimes from private entities, sometimes from commercial providers, sometimes from our users. What we're trying to do is reflect as much accurate information as possible. In the case of Costa Rica and Nicaragua, there's actually an agreed-upon border, and more recently we've actually gotten a detailed outline of the actual border that was resolved in the treaty.
And now they're working on getting it fixed on Google Maps. Meanwhile, the Nicaraguans are still there. Stephen Gein says new technology has led to some new problems.
All maps have errors. Most of the time, until 5 years ago, these errors would have been in atlases and so on, and they would have been minuscule because these maps are actually very large scale. But with Google Earth and Google Maps, people can zoom in until you actually see individual houses and trees, and it's then that, you know, errors in the borders actually get magnified.
With its global reach, Google Maps may be the closest we have to an international standard for mapping. Jason Farman is a professor of American Studies at the University of Maryland.
The digital age is characterized by a dismissal of borders, a loss of borders, where, you know, I'm interacting with a colleague in Copenhagen. We're exchanging materials about a project, and borders are being crossed and dismissed. And, you know, there's no geographical limitation to the digital age is the idea. However, what we're seeing is the representations of countries and the ways that we think about our own national identities are wrapped up in how borders are represented. And I think Google, by mapping these borders, by being the corporation that has the power to name the nations, to recognize countries or towns, or even lose some towns, they're ultimately directly affecting the ways that we live in these spaces.
Another story we're following at marketplacetech.org. The Senate Judiciary Committee passed the Combating Online Infringement and Copyright Act. That's a bill that would give the Justice Department greater power to shut down or block websites suspected of distributing pirated material. The bill, supported by the movie and recording industries, opposed by Google, Yahoo, and other web companies, now moves to the full Senate for a vote. Big shopping season upon us. Let's help each other. How are you using technology to shop this year? Innovative strategies, tricks we've never heard of. We want to put you on the air to talk about it. Go to marketplacetech.org, look for the link. Come on! Girl Talk is the stage name for DJ Greg Gillis. He makes new songs out of samples of older songs, kind of mashed together. Gillis doesn't play an instrument, he just weaves these samples, mostly from songs you're likely to know. Girl Talk's latest collection, All Day, was released as a free download this week, and there was such demand that Gillis' servers started crashing immediately. So, to recap, songs made of other songs by a musician who doesn't play instruments get given away free, and servers crash. Welcome to 2010. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.